Welcome to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the NXT Podcast. Thank you once again for joining me. My name is, as always, Zachary Smith. I am your host once again here to talk about NXT from this week. Now, as you may or may not know, you can always find me over on Twitter. I am at ZachNXT, that's Z-A-C-H-N-X-T. We're always over there talking about wrestling or really just anything going on, having a pretty good time over there. We have a pretty good episode of NXT this week. There was less setup and story, and it was more focused on matches, which has always been NXT's specialty. NXT is better at using stories to set up matches, whereas the main roster, your Raws and SmackDowns, use matches to set up story. That's why on Raw and SmackDown, you'll often see matches that get interrupted or just don't have a finish or have a bad finish, because I imagine Vince McMahon kind of just thinks of it as the story being more important than the match. Sometimes that's true, and the story creates moments that you remember. But for NXT, one of the reasons it's my favorite wrestling show to watch is because at the end of the day, it's just about the wrestling. And there's really cool stories and cool characters to go along with it, but it's not as outlandish or out there or turned up to 10 as it is on the main roster. As you know, we talk about the news and the notes and what's going on in the world of usually WWE. And this week, we're talking about some reports. This is interesting because Keith Lee debuted on Raw just a few weeks ago, and obviously we had the thing with his music and his new gear and so on and so forth. Not going to rehash that here again, but when we first saw Keith Lee come to the main roster, we got reports from various reporters that they love Keith Lee, Vince loves Keith Lee, we've been hearing this since Survivor Series, and wanted to push him to the moon and, you know, set him up for success. And we saw that the first thing he does on Raw is interrupt Randy Orton when Randy Orton is doing some of the best work that he's ever done in his career. He interrupts Randy Orton. They have that first match, doesn't quite get a finish, but then they have their match at Payback, and Keith Lee wins just clean in the middle of the ring with his finisher. No hijinks, no interruptions. Keith Lee just beats Randy Orton with one of Randy Orton's biggest hot streaks that he's ever been on. That is a big deal. Now, Keith Lee is getting kind of involved in this WWE title picture, if only because he now has a score to settle with Drew McIntyre after Drew interrupted his match with Randy, doing a lot of Randy matches last week on Raw. So he's in the middle of this and working with top people. But we also are now getting reports that WWE either is not interested in or just does not know what to do with Keith Lee. There's no long-term plan with Keith Lee. You can go two ways with that kind of information. You could take it on its face value and assume that it's true, which would be weird, but I guess could be the case, which would mean you brought Keith Lee up, didn't really have a plan for him, and you started something good, but you aren't feeling it now, or just didn't plan very far ahead. Now, to be fair, I can absolutely see that being the case in WWE. I've seen them get bored with too many people for no good reason. You can also think that it's ridiculous that you would bring somebody up to the main roster and then put them with Randy Orton and then Drew McIntyre, and then not have any kind of plan going for them. Because saying you don't have a long-term plan for somebody sounds like you're just not very interested in them, or you don't see the big deal about them. And there's not a lot of people, especially an NXT call-up, that I think the main roster would ever have beat Randy Orton one-on-one, much less when Randy's doing really well. So I think that it's much more likely that WWE does very much love Keith Lee, as they should, and WWE wants him to be a big star for them, but WWE does not have a long-term plan. And I think that it's not so much they don't have a long-term plan for Keith Lee, it's that they don't have a long-term plan for anything. And that's not because the creative team there is horrible and they're lazy and bad at their jobs. That's not it at all. Everybody in that company is working to please one man who is in his 70s and wasn't much easier to get along with when he was in his 40s, I would imagine. This is a man that, by all reports and by former writers and head writers that worked there for a long time, he has a very specific sophomoric sense of humor. He almost sees the wrestlers as toys and he gets bored of them like a child would. And so you're writing stories for somebody that you want to do well, but he might just, for no reason, not like them. And then you're told by like a Jim Ross that sometimes you don't need to die on every hill. And people say that if you bring up a talent too many times in meetings, that can go against them. Keep in mind, that has nothing to do with the talent, but you don't like them now because Paul Heyman mentioned their name too many times. And this is essentially a company run by a very, very stubborn old man who's never really seemed to have much pushback at all ever since he created this circle around himself. And so you're trying to plan for the long term when you can't even write for Raw and not have everything changed right before on a whim. So, no, if I'm a writer or a creative person down there, I'm not booking Keith Lee a year from now, 2 years from now. I'm trying to get Keith Lee to next month and trying to get him to be somewhat consistent with the stories that I give him. Because it's much more likely that 1 week Keith Lee will be going against Drew McIntyre, and the next week Keith Lee will just be in a skit with the Street Profits for no reason, just because Vince didn't think about him and he thought it might be funny to just have them together, which would derail some of the momentum he has. So yeah, I think it's absolutely fair to say that both things are true. They love Keith Lee. They want to use him and push him to the moon, but due to the nature of the bubble Vince McMahon has built around himself and his seemingly lack of attention span, there is no long-term plan for Keith Lee, because there is no long-term plan for anybody. They will say, oh, the Rey Mysterio Seth Rollins thing, that was long-term storytelling. Was it? Was it long-term storytelling, or is it a story and you kept dragging it out? Like, because Dominic and Seth and Murphy are still going at it, and I don't think it's a long-term story. I think you guys are just dragging this out and you didn't want the eye for an eye match to be the last thing that happened. I think you got lucky with the seeds being planted when Seth was first turning heel. I don't think you planned that all the way out. The history of this company has indicated to me that they are able to do that on very, very, very specific and very, very, very rare and special occasions. And that doesn't seem like what's happening. I think a lot of the time when they quote-unquote have done long-term storytelling and had the fans in the palm of their hand, they are fixing a narrative in their head after the fact. It's like when Daniel Bryan got the WWE title at WrestleMania and WWE tried to act like this was their plan all along, when really it was, we don't like Daniel Bryan being this high up because he's not a WWE creation and he's not a big muscly man, so we're going to have Randy Orton and Batista go for the title. And everybody said, no, thank you, and forced WWE to. Well, to hear WWE tell it, well, you know, Daniel kept saying, hey man, knock me down one more time, knock me down one more time, the fans will come back. And boy, oh boy, that just doesn't seem true, does it? It seems like their hand was forced and they didn't want to admit it after the fact. So again, not to put too fine a point on it, I wouldn't worry too much about this report because, one, I think that Vince has been in love with Keith Lee since Survivor Series, which is very good for Keith Lee. And don't worry, because if it's a bad thing that Keith Lee doesn't have a long-term story, you're going to get really nervous when you hear about literally every other wrestler in that company, because there is no long-term story. You can't have a long-term story with somebody that doesn't have a long-term attention span. But that's enough of that main roster stuff. We're going to go to Triple H land and William Regal land in NXT. I'm excited. You should be excited. We were recapping some of last week. New NXT champion Finn Balor. Mercedes Martinez and Rhea Ripley had that great steel cage match to close the show last week. This week we're going to have Timothy Thatcher versus Damian Priest for Damian's North American title. This will be Damian Priest's first tag team. Man, he's one guy, man. North American title is the one that I said. Keep in mind, this is set up last week by Timothy Thatcher watching tape of Damian Priest and pointing out weaknesses in his game. And Damian Priest responded by saying something to the effect of Timothy Thatcher had a stupid face or an ugly face, and then he was going to kick him in his stupid face. So the one that said that is our babyface. He's our protagonist. He's our good guy. Because WWE and comedy mix like peanut butter and vinegar. We're also going to get a tag title match with Breezango defending against Imperium. That's a rematch from when Breezango won the titles. We're opening, though, with Shotzi Blackheart coming out in her mini tank to take on Io Shirai in a non-title match. Remember, this was set up last week when Io and Shotzi cleared the ring together, and then Shotzi had Io's North American title. Io snatched it from her, and they set up the match this week. It's interesting because I don't think that they originally had any long-term plans for Shotzi Blackheart. I don't remember if she first came in as an enhancement talent, or if she was just going to be a minor character. But I distinctly remember that they had something of a battle royal a long time ago with the women in NXT. And Shotzi, I believe, eliminated Shayna Baszler from that. And that was the first moment where it was like, whoa, okay, she's not just an enhancement talent with green hair. They're going to do something here. And since then, she's always in really good matches when she's involved in them, and she's been involved in some cool stories. And I think it's a situation where they didn't have big plans for her, but whatever TV time she gets, and it's usually not that long, she makes the most of it. So she makes the most of whatever TV time she gets, and so she's gotten more and more TV time as we've gone, because people know that she's entertaining and can be counted on for that. But also, she's very good in the ring, so you can count on her in matches too. So this is got to be the most important match that we've seen Shotzi Blackheart in since coming to NXT. I'm not familiar with her work before, but this is a one-on-one match, albeit non-title, against the women's champion. And the cool thing about that is Io Shirai is our women's champion, and she is great at it. It's kind of what I think they wanted to do with Charlotte Flair, but definitely didn't. And this has nothing to do with Charlotte Flair, I don't think. But I think that they originally wanted Charlotte Flair to be the NXT Women's Champion for a few reasons. One, I don't know that they wanted to have her just go after the Raw or SmackDown Women's title again. But I think their idea was to boost the ratings in NXT by putting Charlotte on the show and have her work with some of the young talent down there. And then, to my memory, she defended it. She had a match against Mia Yim that she won with absolutely no problem. She had dust-ups with Rhea Ripley and Io Shirai until they had a triple threat match at TakeOver, where Io won by pinning Rhea Ripley, not Charlotte Flair. Now, I run through the timeline to emphasize the fact that the entire time Charlotte Flair was in NXT, she never lost, which isn't a problem until that last match, because I don't know any reason that Charlotte Flair would come back to NXT now. And I always thought that Vince McMahon and everybody over there held up that when you're leaving a promotion or leaving a territory, you go out putting somebody else over. But She didn't lose the whole time she was there, and she didn't put anybody over. And we've talked about it before, but putting somebody over doesn't mean losing to them. Putting somebody over means you, first and foremost, have a good to great match with them. But more importantly, while in that match, if you are the champion, whether it's men's champion, women's champion, tag team champion, you make your opponent look as if they are a very serious threat to you. You essentially want it to look like if you wrestled this person 10 times, 5 out of 10 times that person could win, even if deep down you know that that person won't. So, when Charlotte Flair was in the ring as the NXT Women's Champion, albeit because people knew behind the scenes that people really loved Charlotte Flair, you knew that, one, there was essentially no chance that she was going to lose, and two, super weirdly, she wasn't even going to be made to look weak most of the time. Charlotte Flair was never in danger. Charlotte Flair was never put in a terrible position. And Charlotte Flair was never equal with anybody on NXT. The closest would have been Io Shirai. Rhea Ripley's out because Charlotte beat her, but Io Shirai was the closest, but even then, Io Shirai doesn't pin Charlotte, so she gets nothing from that. So, you essentially brought Charlotte Flair to NXT. It did not affect the ratings whatsoever, because one person isn't going to do that. This WWE has gone out of their way to avoid a situation where they have another Stone Cold or The Rock or somebody that's bigger than the letters. And so, as a side effect of that, you can't just move people around and expect it to affect ratings. That's the system you've created. Didn't increase the ratings, and didn't help any of the women in NXT. I would argue it hurt, because it didn't. Charlotte Flair was not integrated into the NXT system. Charlotte Flair floated a little bit above the NXT system until Rhea Ripley got pinned and she lost her title. I say all that to say that just about every match that Io has had since winning the women's title has been the opposite. Io comes off as a badass, and she comes off as somebody that's ready to fight at the drop of a hat and ready to defend that title against anybody and willing to defend NXT. But in every match that I have seen Io Shirai have, there's moments where I believe that her opponent either can or will beat her. Now, deep down, I know that there is no situation in which Shotzi Blackheart is going to cleanly beat the women's champion Io Shirai in a match. Sure, fair. Io shouldn't lose. But there were moments in this match where I felt like Io was in danger, or I could see a situation where Shotzi gets a victory out of nowhere type situation. Io Shirai made Shotzi Blackheart look like she could be very easily the number one contender for the women's title. And Shotzi lost, but you don't think about Shotzi losing. You think about, wow, Shotzi got in there and stood toe-to-toe with the women's champion and gave her all that she could handle. And that is the point of a champion. A champion shouldn't lose just a random singles match. That's the whole point of being the champion, is you're one of the best, if not the best, at this. But a champion should be able to get into singles matches and make opponents and really put them over. That way, if you come back around to Shotzi Blackheart getting a title shot, you now have this as reference that, oh, Shotzi can go in there and beat Io Shirai, even if you don't think she will. So, Io wins with the moonsault, but Shotzi put up a hell of a fight. This helps, again, Io kind of building potential challengers, because while she is winning, she's putting people over, so if they have to come back around, it just helps everybody. Io helps up Shotzi, and Shotzi and Io shake hands as the mutual respect has been earned between the two. Cut over and we see Wade Barrett and Vic Joseph. Wade Barrett has been signed officially to NXT, which is fantastic. It's going to be him, Vic Joseph, and Beth Phoenix calling the action. It's a great team. We did have Mauro Ranallo, Nigel McGuinness, and Beth Phoenix, which were an excellent team. Early days, but I may like this team more. Mora Ranallo was excellent, but there were times when I forgot that Beth Phoenix and Nigel McGuinness were there. Vic Joseph is much more of a point guard than a shooting guard, so Vic Joseph really involves Beth Phoenix and Wade Barrett in the commentary. And Wade Barrett is just so good, and having been a wrestler in WWE that people know, he has a lot of different insight that Vic Joseph wouldn't necessarily have, and Beth Phoenix would, but not as recently. And so it's very cool to hear Wade Barrett talk about different match types. We're talking about the steel cage match last week. It's just really good for NXT to have his voice there, and I'm really glad that Wade Barrett's back. Like, I don't think they would have done anything with him as a wrestler if he's even still interested in that, but commentator, especially away from Vince McMahon, is pretty great. We get a highlight package of Tommaso Ciampa a few weeks ago when he was beating up Jake Atlas, so this makes me think that Jake Atlas is coming back this week because, one, you did a video package about it, but two, that would make sense based on the beating that he took. We cut to in the ring, and Mr. Desmond Troy is in the ring. He's an enhancement talent to face Ciampa. So this is an enhancement match, or a match that is designed to make Ciampa look good against usually a local talent. So seems as though Jake Atlas is going to get involved somehow. That just seems inevitable. So here's the thing. First, not sure about the Iron Mask thing he's wearing, just because Ciampa looks mean when he's just walking out. Don't know that we need a mask. It's a little, haven't quite decided. Now, what I have definitely decided, and I have definitely come to the conclusion of, is that Ciampa has some of his beard braided, and I don't know which one of Tommaso Ciampa's friends didn't stop him and tell him that wasn't the way to go, but whatever friend didn't do that for him, that friend needs an evaluation as to whether or not that friend can remain in the friend circle. Because you have this dude with an iron mask and a real nasty look on his face who's beating people up, and then his beard is just kind of braided. And we're doing what now? That's not... Okay, I'm not the most stylish dude. Anybody will tell you that, but I know that that's not it. I know that. I hope that's not his new thing. Really hope that's not his new thing. Here's the thing. Ciampa hits the apron to the ring. DDT beats Desmond Troy. This is weird because I thought that Jake Atlas was going to pop out now, or I thought he was going to pop out during the match, but instead he comes out to the ring in street clothes. He's up on the TitanTron entrance ramp. Jake Atlas said he's tired of just being happy to be here. He said, I am, but Ciampa showed me that that wasn't going to cut it. So next week, I'm going to kick Ciampa's ass. And then Jake Atlas walks to the back. So presumably, next week it's Jake Atlas, Tommaso Ciampa. It's super weird to get beat up really badly and taken to the hospital, and then you get cleared again in a few weeks, and then you just come out and threaten the dude that beat you up really bad. I mean, it was a good promo, and Jake Atlas did a good job with it. It's the most I've heard him talk in a promo. But it just makes Jake Atlas look really weird that he didn't come out swinging on a guy that beat him until he was out for weeks. To make it worse, Ciampa grabbed a steel chair from outside and he put it in the ring and set it up and sat while Jake was talking and he laughed. So it's not even like Jake Atlas is being taken as like a threat. And presumably Jake Atlas is going to lose that match against Tommaso Ciampa. So Jake Atlas gets beat up, taken out for weeks, comes back. The person he's going to threaten sits in a chair and laughs. Instead of fighting the person that took him out for weeks, he's just going to vaguely threaten him and then leave. So, like, he's angry, but he's not, like, immediate action angry. And it makes it feel... It's weird because that's the kind of thing you would do if Jake Atlas were the bad guy, but he's not. He's the good guy. But he sounds like a guy who's scared of the guy he's threatening, which is a bad guy thing to do, but he's a good guy. I was going to say I'm confused. I don't think I'm confused. I think this is weird. Ciampa and Atlas will have a really good match next week, and I think Ciampa's going to win, and then I don't know if we're done with this or what we're doing with it. We'll just have to see. Austin Theory comes out of the ring. He says, last week was a fluke, so anyone in the back, this is your opportunity to step in the ring with Austin Theory. And as Austin is removing his shirt, getting ready, it's Kushida that comes out. Now, Kushida doesn't have any entrance music when he comes out. He's just walking out, looking pissed off, walking very quickly to the ring. Gets in the ring, walked towards Austin Theory, and quickly does look like an enziguri, just a kick to the head. Quick kicks Austin Theory in the head, and Theory rolls out of the ring. So during the match, Kushida is kicking the arm of Austin Theory to eventually set up for that armbar. That's smart. And eventually, Kushida does lock in that armbar, and Theory taps out. Kushida holds that armbar for a couple extra seconds after the bell rings, so Kushida is real mad and real serious now. I dig it. It seems as though Kushida's turning heel. He's being a lot more aggressive, holding a submission hold past when the ref is either counting or when the match is over is obviously a bad guy move. I don't know what prompted Kushida to change. I don't remember anything really since the Cruiserweight tournament that was going on really with Kushida. But it's interesting that he's had this attitude change and he's not using entrance music, at least for this. He's just coming out to the ring, fighting, and then leaving. That's cool. I can dig that. Kushida is an excellent wrestler. And I love the Back to the Future entrance that he does and his theme music, but it does make it feel different when somebody just storms out to the ring and immediately wants to fight. It's kind of like Oney Lorcan, if they took Oney Lorcan more seriously, where he just comes out quickly and wants to fight you. And I don't know if we're going to get Kushida explaining what's going on or if we're going to keep going with just pissed off Kushida for a while, but I am fine with pissed off Kushida. That's fine with me. So Breezango's out first for the NXT tag title match. Breezango, who are the tag team champs, are out as the Fashion Police. The Chiron on the side with some information says, a fun fact is a pet peeve is horrible fashion sense. Because these are tag team champions that you will take seriously. Imperium is out. Always think it's weird when the challenger comes out second. Don't make their entrance. They come out to their music, but instead of making that pose at the entrance ramp, they run into the ring to attack Breezango, who clear Imperium out of the ring. So, it's basically a quick pin. Tyler Breeze is on one of Imperium's shoulders, and the other is getting on the middle rope to do a move. Fandango drop kicks the member that has Breeze into the guy, so he falls over, and then Tyler Breeze basically does like a head scissor takedown and gets a quick pin on the other member. So Breezango retain their tag titles. That's to be expected. I didn't think that you would just hand it right back to Imperium. Plus, I would imagine Imperium's going to be going to NXT UK before too long here. That's the weird thing, man, is that Breezango is really, really good in the ring and they have great personalities. But WWE kind of gets their hands on it, and it turns it into this comedy thing that's not quite funny, but you also can't take it super seriously. So every time they're in a match, I fully expect them to lose, and I'm not going to be sad when they do, because it feels like they're a joke because of the way that they're presented, but not like a funny one. Like, it was funny when it first started, when they were clearly the ones behind it, but then WWE got their hands on it and changed it, and made it the weird comedy slush that it is now. And so they're having this story where they want to be taken more seriously, but aren't being more serious. And it just feels like an underwhelming title to, or rather team to put a title on. But they're excellent in the ring. Their matches are fun to watch, and they retain here. So we'll have to see who the next team is to challenge them. We have Damian Priest out next to defend the North American title against Timothy Thatcher, who comes out second. Again, super weird. It's a very good match. It got a lot more time than I thought it would. It's actually closing out the show. Damian Priest hits the Reckoning and retains that North American title. That's to be expected. You wouldn't have Damian Priest win the NXT North American title just to lose it the next week to Timothy Thatcher. Timothy Thatcher's really good, man. He's really intense, and he's really good. Damian Priest is very good as well. I don't love the character of the Archer of Infamy. He's a weird combination of, I like to hang out with girls in hot tubs wearing my leather pants I wrestled in, and I like to shoot a bow and arrow that's not there, and I will make sure that my name lives forever. It's just, it's like two or three characters in one character, and every time I want him to just pick one, and I know that's not his fault, but I just want him to pick one of the two or three characters that he's doing at the same time, because it's easy to take the I'm going to make my name live forever guy very seriously, but then you have the I hang out in hot tubs and leather pants guy saying that Timothy Thatcher has an ugly and stupid face that you're going to kick because it's stupid. That's not the same guy. That's different dudes. And it just kind of makes it hard to latch on to him just because, one, the hot tub leather pants version is so annoying, but he's a babyface. He's supposed to be a good guy. And then it makes me take him a lot less seriously, I guess. But hopefully we can develop the character more as he's moving on with this North American Championship. And really, he probably just needs a really good program, because when he was going against Finn Balor, that's some of what made him, and I believe got him to this point, where he's not just a perpetual challenger, but the champion. So hopefully his character can kind of progress, and we can kind of watch that happen. Maybe that's some of the point of this, that we can like narrow down the focus on the character that he's portraying. But that was our main event, which means my time is just about up, ladies and gentlemen. Now, don't get too sad. Same time next week, I'm going to be back with you, and then it'll be like I never left. So you can even save these last couple minutes to listen to next week, and then it's just a continuation. You see, I'm always, who's always here for you? Uncle Zach's always here for you. But again, you could find me on Twitter. I'm ZachNXT, that's at ZachNXT. We're always talking about wrestling, or some of the stuff that's going on in the world, or just some funny stuff that happens. But you can hit me up over there if you just want to talk about wrestling or life or need help. Or if you want to see anything added to the show, taken out, any topics you suggest. Usually the topics that I get for the beginning segment are from Twitter. And so you can join in the conversation there. Again, at ZachNXT. In the meantime, that's it for the show, which means that it for me. I have been Zachary Smith. You have been your fantastic self. Thank you for listening.